Before I get started again, I would like to let you know that Brenda and I are going to be going to Georgia on tomorrow, Thursday, and be gone till Monday, coming back Monday. So pray for Ken as he preaches, and I'm sure he'll do a wonderful job. He's been working hard at it, and support your elder there and your church. Hope that you have a great Sunday. Without us, we'll pray for you. Pray for us too as we travel. It's a kind of a tedious trip, so anyhow, appreciate that. We finished up with Romans 11:30 last week. I mean, that's how we ended. And we've been talking about vessels and objectors. And we have looked at so far, just as a summary, because I don't have a lot left. But Paul quite often deals with critics or interlocutors in the book of Romans. And he's speaking a lot of times to that person, and he anticipates what they would say. So he's already been talking about the potter and the clay, and how the potter has every right to do whatever he wants to with the clay, even make two vessels, one unto honor and one unto dishonor. And we spoke about that and used quite a few passages out of Romans, Jeremiah as well, where the potter is brought up. Spoke of vessels unto honor, no honor. It's really better to use the terminology no honor as opposed to dishonor. And vessels of wrath and vessels of mercy. And today we'll finish up in speaking about the Gentiles and how the Gentiles can become vessels of mercy. In Romans 9, 1 through 23, we read about that. There's also some more about it in other places in Romans, but there's where we're going to go. Romans 9, 1 through 23. Romans 9 begins by Paul talking about his brethren, and he could wish that they were saved, and he would even go to great lengths to make that happen if it were possible. But, of course, it's up to them. It's not up to him. And there is, in Romans 9, 1 through 23, a Jewish question. If you're concerned about the Jews, why didn't they come to know Christ? They have all these privileges. They have all these different religious, I was going to say accoutrements, but I don't know if you know what that word means. They have the adoption as sons. They have the glory, the covenant, the giving of the law, the temple service, and the promises. They have the lineage, and even Christ is from their ranks, from their genealogy, from their loins, from the loins of the Jews. He is a Jewish person. He comes through Isaac specifically, and in the flesh, there's lots and lots and lots of things that would, I guess you could say, commend them to God, but a large number of them, perhaps a majority of them, I have no idea what the number actually is or the percentage, but it's a pretty good percentage, way over 50%, did not come to know Christ. So did the gospel fail? Did God fail? What's the problem? And that's what Paul's going through here in Romans 9, 1 through 23. It is true that the church is becoming more and more Gentile as time goes on. Paul notices this. The apostles also notice this. And So what he ends up speaking about is that the Gentiles, in verse 30, who did not pursue righteousness, attained righteousness or right standing with God, even the righteousness which is by faith. But Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, a law, did not arrive at that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. So they stumbled over the stumbling stone, and that's a very important principle in Scripture. So at this point in the passage, you know, 30 on through the end, 30 through 33 of chapter 9, Paul breaks off to point out that Gentiles can also have a place. That was probably not music to the ears of the Jewish people, because they think of Gentiles as not anywhere near deserving that. So the vessels of mercy upon or whom God has called include people not only from the Jews only, but from Gentiles also. And the prophet Hosea had many years ago outlined this principle that's involved here. God called, which could also be translated named, Israel, not my people, because of their sin. Pretty important concept that you find in Hosea. Yet at the same time, on the other side of that coin, God promised that when they repented, he would rename them my people. So they were not my people because of their sin. If they would repent, he would rename them my people. You have to realize the great significance of names to Hebrew people here. And it is only sensible that this would be the case. But there's a reason, and a principle, perhaps not a reason, but a principle in Hosea that is this. God also might consider it necessary to remove or bestow a name, a privilege, or a position as he once thought fit for various reasons. Paul, by means of the Holy Spirit, saw this same principle involved in God's actions in Paul's day. Those who had been named, including some Gentiles, formerly did not have a name. In other words, they were not my people. What God said he could do for the rejected Israel in the time of Hosea, he could do in the time of Paul also for repentant Gentiles. Gentiles, then, as well as Jews, are called sons of the living God. God has shown them mercy, and they are known to be his and are vessels of mercy. So the big reason why the Jewish people, at certain points in time, were not God's people is because they pursued righteousness by works and not by faith. This is a constant, consistent principle found throughout the Scriptures. It was credited to Abraham as righteousness, and that's the point in which God changes his name, by the way. And he's the example in Romans chapter 4, used by Paul in Paul's day, as how someone is saved. So repentance is necessary. The gospel, the word of God, never failed. It was the objects of the gospel, I guess you could say, or those that were hearing the gospel and what they did with it, who were the problem or the reason why they weren't saved. It's not the gospel's problem, it's their problem. So, repentance is foundationally what is necessary in pursuing righteousness or right standing with God by faith. Well, it would be good to be able to do this all in one fell swoop, but you have to listen to three different segments of this thing to get the gist of it. I wish I could do it differently, but I don't know how. So listen to the first two parts if you've missed those in order to understand this a little bit better. And if you have any questions or comments, let me know. Some of this is pretty deep theological stuff, and it is, I guess, problematic for a lot of people to understand. So I'd be glad to go through it or into it again at whatever point that's necessary. So until I see you again, which would be not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Lord willing, you'll have a great Sunday. We'll have a good trip, and we'll see you the following Sunday. Bye for now.